Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Lord's leading me for 1 week to break from the series I'm in to really minister to us comfort in times of trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Opie says to his dad, "A haircut and a bath in one day? Paul, what am I being punished for?" You know, children often don't understand what a parent requires or what a parent is doing, and because of that, sometimes we think the negative. You know, as we go through this life, one of the things that we recognize is life is hard. Stop and think about it. Life is hard. Over the last several weeks, we've had really been inundated with trials within the body of Christ. Some of them are physical in nature. You go through those physical trials, and not only does it wear you down physically, it sometimes wears you down emotionally. You get discouraged. You don't bounce back as quickly as you wanted to. You can't accomplish the things that you're responsible for. Sometimes it not only drains you physically, it drains you emotionally, it drains you spiritually. Sometimes, depending on what the physical ailment is, you can't read or you can't focus, and seems like the reading, maybe you're on an extra medication just to deal with some of the pain or some of the difficulties that you're overcoming, and because of that your mind isn't as clear and your ability to pray and even talk with the Lord somewhat strained. Maybe it's not physical, maybe it's a financial collapse. Maybe a poor decision. Maybe it was seemed to be a good decision at the time, but it just didn't turn out financially the way you were expecting it to, or something within the home breaks down, or one of the vehicles has difficulties, or whatever it may be, and all of a sudden you're under this weight. You're dealing with the situation. You're trying to come up with extra finances, not knowing where they're going to come from. You're trying to figure out if we need to take an extra job, or if the wife needs to go to work, or whatever might need to change there. And again, just that added stress, that added weight. Life's hard. Sometimes it's relationship issues. Again, the relationships can be in our home. It can be in our workplace. It can just be in our family in general, surrounding family. Paul would be a really good one to discuss hardship. The Apostle Paul walked with the Lord. Look what he says here in the fourth chapter, just describing it a little bit. I'll begin with verse number 8. I'm going to be preaching out of 2 Corinthians, but I'm going to be preaching out later out of the first chapter. But look here in the fourth chapter, verse number 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." And so Paul, he says, you know, we're going through a lot of hardship, but one of the things he says is we're not forsaken. We're not cast down. And the reason is, he says, I recognize I'm going through this suffering for a purpose. He says, I'm bearing a resemblance of the dying of the Lord Jesus so that His life might be manifested or seen in my body, that Christ might be seen in me. And so life is hard. It was hard for Paul. You say, wow, he was one of the greatest men who ever lived for the Lord. You see, dear friends, the difficulties in life are not there because we're not walking with the Lord, or we are walking with the Lord. The difficulties of life come so that we might have the Lord brought out in our lives, so our light might so shine. You know, life is hard, but God is greater. Friend, if you're going through life and how hard it is without knowing the Lord, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you bear that weight alone. In fact, you can't get rid of the weight. You don't have anyone to hand it to. I know you try to hand it maybe to a family member or you try to get a friend to help with it, but don't ultimately the weight come back? Because the trials keep coming. What a blessing to have a heavenly Father. And His eyes are open and He sees us and His ears are attentive. The Scripture says in several places, His ears are attentive to our prayers. I just kind of picture it as God's looking down from heaven. God's everywhere. God's omnipresent. God's all-knowing. But I kind of pictured in my human mind that God's just looking down and seeing I'm going through this and just hoping that I'll call out and ask for help. And wow, what a help we find. Just earlier, Paul says, we've never been forsaken. You know, even the disciples forsook the Lord, but you know the Lord has never, if you're a child of God, God has never forsaken you. There has never been a moment in your life that God says, you know what, I'm just walking away from them. Or I'm going to let them do this on their own. Into that emergency room with Bonnie, the Lord went. Into the recovery room with Bonnie, the Lord went. Into the IC unit, the Lord went. You see, as each one of us go through these trials of life, while the trial is hard, I want you to know that God is greater. He is faithful. Think of His faithfulness. His mercies are new. How often? What's the Scripture say? Every morning. Every morning you awake to a fresh dose of the faithfulness of God as He's merciful to us. Great is His faithfulness. He is trustworthy. You can always trust in Him. There's never going to be a point in time where He fails you, where He decides to do something else, where He turns away from you. Job said this, that though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. He found God to be trustworthy. Turn with me over to the first chapter, if you would now, because we're going to find several other things about God. We're going to find that God is gracious, God is merciful, God is helpful, God is comforting. And so I want to talk to you today about all the comfort we need in all the trouble we have. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, it just seems like a wave of trials have hit different ones and different families, different individuals. And Father, I believe they need comforted. I believe they need encouraged. I believe they need, like Paul. Paul understood why he was going through the trial. And while we might not know the express reasons, the exact reasons, Father, give us an idea of how You can use these trials in our lives today. Give us an idea of how we are to be responding in the trials that we go through. And so, Father, show us how You will comfort us and give us all the comfort we need in all the trials that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you notice here the opening seven verses with me? I want to start with verse number 2 and read down through it. And there's going to be some things that ought to stand out to you. I'm just going to tell you ahead of time so you know what to look for, because these things, as I read and found them being repeated over and over, helped me to develop the sermon today. As I was reading these opening seven verses, in particular beginning with verse 3 down through verse number 7, I found that the words comfort or consolation were mentioned 10 times in those verses. Also, in that short passage of Scripture, I also found out it talked about suffering, it talked about tribulation, talked about trouble or being afflicted or enduring 8 times. So we have comfort in the midst of affliction. Follow along as I begin reading. I'll start with verse number 2, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comforts. Now, here's what really opens up. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, as Paul would talk again later in chapter 4 that we already read, the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope, isn't it important to have hope? Boy, when we lose hope, I am sure depending on the situation you may be facing in your life or in your family or in your workplace or in the business that you own, whatever you are going through, when we lose hope, it gets discouraging. And if we're discouraged long enough, it becomes depressing. We find ourselves spiraling downward. When that person isn't communicating with you, or that person isn't completing their task, or those finances aren't coming in, or that health report isn't getting any better, or we just don't feel like we're getting any stronger. The longer we go with that, if we're not careful, we can begin to allow our emotions to take control and begin to spiral. He says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as we are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. He said, so as I'm sure you're going to have this suffering, I'm also sure you're going to have this comfort. I want to talk to you first of all about the comfort you need comes from God. The comfort you need comes from God. Remember, I said life is hard, but God is greater. No matter what you go through in life, how difficult it may be, God is greater than what you go through. Look here and again in verse number 2 where it says, grace be to you. That's the idea of help. It can be strength. It can actually even be financial. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it uses in a financial way. So that grace, that help from God, grace be to you and peace. That overwhelming calm. The overwhelming calm doesn't come because the trial's over. It can, but that's more joy. That's more relief. Peace we can have as a Christian even though the trial's abiding, even though the trial's remaining. We have two roses down here for two of our wonderful people and their mates pass. I would dare say they're still, even though it's been 2 years and even though it's been 5 years, I can't believe it. They still feel the effects of that loss. But at the same time, even though that trial abides, so does the peace of God. And in fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says that your grace and peace can be multiplied. So these two things offered to the believer can even be multiplied. It can be given in abundance. Why? Because God is rich in grace. God is rich in mercy. And so when we as Christians need more, we only need to ask of Him. So whatever you're going through in a Christian life, sometimes we look for our answer in a person. Sometimes we look for our answer in a report. Sometimes we look for our answer in a bank account statement, whatever it may be. And we see things are getting better. But dear friend, I want you to know peace is different than that. Peace is just knowing God is there. Peace is knowing that God will give you help and guide you through it. Peace is something that goes beyond all of our understanding. And where God just assures you that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that we can boldly say, you know what, the Lord's been my help in this. And so, dear friend, whatever comfort you need, I want you to know, it isn't dependent upon man. If it's dependent upon man, we might fail you. Pastor Terry and I, we try to do our best, but you know what? Each of us are going to disappoint you somewhere along the line. Our wives are awesome, and we praise the Lord for them, but even our wives will disappoint you at somewhere along the line. But God never fails. And He's got this grace, and He's got this peace, and it comes from Him, and it comes from His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, blessed be God, the idea of worthy of praise is God. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because why? He's the Father of mercies. It's the idea of being pitiful, of being kind, of being broken, seeing someone in a situation. Remember when the Lord was going about and ministering, and He had gone, and in Matthew chapter 9, I'm bringing back to mind, and He's healing one person after another. He's in the midst of healing one, and He's being called by a father to come to His daughter that's dying. As He's on the way to the daughter that's dying, He finds a woman who has an issue of blood, and has had that for 12 years, and after He heals her, He goes on and heals the daughter, all these people needing ministered to, and by the end of the chapter, He looks out, and there's a multitudes, and they are scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And what's He say? I'm tired. Let them go. Just send them home. No. He was moved with compassion. And He said, won't you pray for others to help? See, He saw how many people needed ministered to. And He's a Father of mercies. And look at the end of verse 3. He's the God of all comfort. In fact, what He's done for us as His children is He's given us the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're going through a situation. I was just talking to Brother Tony this morning. Brother Tony just quit therapy, not because he feels better, because he feels worse. You take meds just to go to therapy, and then you take meds because you went to therapy. You need comfort. It gets discouraging. God says, you know what? I've got the comfort. I can help you. He gives us His Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. One of the comforting things is to be reassured we're still one of His children. Peter, when he says, I want you to rejoice, he says, rejoice in this, knowing you've got a home waiting you. Would you turn with me in your Bible? We're coming back to here, but would you turn with me for a second over to Hebrews chapter 4. It's just a few pages away. Hebrews chapter 4. It's more toward the back of your Bible. Through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, you get to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at just three verses really quickly. Verses 14 through 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest, the great high priest is Jesus Christ, representing us before God, that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, by the way, Jesus, the Son of God, at the right hand of throne, at right hand of the throne of God, is also making intercession for us. And so we have Jesus, we can go to Him, the high priest. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And at times in the midst of our trials, we just want to throw in the towel. We want to give up. We want to quit going to church. We want to quit reading our Bible. We want to quit praying. Seems like nothing's working. He says, hold on. Hold on. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points like as we are. Was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He understands. He understands the trials of life. He went through the suffering. Even went through the suffering of death. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You're Christian. I want you to know as we go through this life, it's going to be hard. It's going to have the anguish. It's going to have in all of our tribulation mentioned in verse number 4. It ends in the middle of the verse. It says, who are in any trouble. It talks about the suffering in verse number 5. It talks about the affliction in verse number 6. And enduring sufferings and suffering again in verse number 6. And talks about in verse number 7 again suffering. But in all of this, He is the God of all comfort. And He is willing to aid you. He is willing to come alongside of you. I thought of the song, Hallelujah, what a Savior. What a Savior we have. No matter what you're going through at this time, just keep calling upon the Lord. Don't abandon what you're doing. Increase what you're doing. Become more faithful. Become more earnest in your prayer. Become more earnest in your desire to find Him and know Him and seek Him in His Word. Because the comfort we need comes from the Lord. Let's turn back, if we would, to our original passage. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will become strangely dim in the light of His mercy and grace. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Where's that? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The encouragement I can give to you is everyone refocus on the Lord. You know, one of the things that trials cause us to do, and not because we just want to, but it causes us to think about ourselves. And sometimes in thinking about ourselves and what we're going through, we get our eyes off of the Lord. And so what I want to encourage you to do, folks, is to recognize that the comfort we need comes from the Lord. So let's get our focus back upon Him. And let's turn our eyes back upon Him. And if you need to, go to that throne of grace and ask for more grace. It can be multiplied. Ask for more mercies. He is rich in mercy, the Scripture says. He'll pity you. He'll come to your aid very often. I pray for those going through troubling situations. I just beg God to be merciful to you. I beg God to withhold what others may have gone through. I beg God to give you the strength, and I beg God to give you a peace in the midst of the storm. Secondly, not only the comfort you need comes from the Lord, the comfort others need comes from God. When reading in chapter 4, Paul recognized that I'm going through this trials so that I might show others Christ. Again, so often in the midst of the trial, we're thinking of ourselves, but what the Lord wants us to think about is others. And so as we go through trials, we have to recognize, wait a second, God is allowing me to go through this, or God is making me to go through this, so that others might see Christ in me. There's somewhere, someone out there needing what I have. And it comes out when I'm under pressure. That's why we really got to guard our responses and our reactions when we're in trials. What's on the inside comes out, but sometimes we don't like what's coming out. And we've really got to be careful because Paul is going to describe it this way. And I was reading again in my time with the Lord this morning. And a chapter goes really well with this is Philippians chapter 1. Because Paul is talking about, we're not going to turn there, we're not going to talk about today in detail, but Paul is talking about the house arrest he's under in Philippi. And he says, don't concern yourself with me. I'm having a great opportunity to share the gospel with all these people while I'm here. You see, what Paul did is realize instead of focusing on me and what I'm going through, I need to think about who can I encourage while going through this? Who can I help? Let's look at the text here and see where I got that idea from. Look at verse number 4. Who comforteth us? Remember, He is the God of all comfort. The end of verse number 3. Who comforteth us in all our tribulations that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So he says, God is comforting me, not just for me. God may be comforting me for you. Or you. How many of you have sat in a pew and listened to somebody get up and give testimony and been encouraged by it? And they're sharing what they went through in a trial and how God helped them and how God strengthened them and how God answered prayer. And all of a sudden, someone, you don't even know it, in the pew is being encouraged. Okay, God can help me then in what I'm going through. Paul said, here's the God of all comfort and He's ministering to me and He's helping me in any of my problems so that I might be able to comfort anybody who's in any trouble. By the way, I recognize this, and we need to wear this on both, we need to put these shoes on both sides. Number one, that means I can help someone even though I've never been through what they're going through. Because here, Paul says, God's comforting me so that I can comfort anybody in any trouble. Paul didn't have to go through that to give comfort. Paul just has to know the God of comfort to give comfort. Sometimes you might say, well, I've never been through that. I can't help them. Yeah, you can. Because you know the Lord. The key to helping someone is not having been there, done that, and know all the feelings and the experiences. That might help, and God may use that somewhere in your life, but that doesn't have to be. Don't say, I'm not going to reach out to them because I really don't know what they're going through. You know God. Reach out to them. You might say, you know what, I've never been in the situation you're in, and I'm sure it's difficult. But I remember a time it was really difficult in my life, and can I share with you how God helped me through it? Now on the flip side, putting on the other side of the shoes, so to speak, you can't say, well, you haven't been there, so you really can't help me. You've never been through what I'm going through. Dear friend, that's being selfish as a Christian. That's setting yourself up for a fall. God says through Paul, he can comfort me in all of our tribulations so that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble. So they don't have to have gone through what you're going through in order to be an encouragement to you. The comfort comes from the Lord, not from just knowing somebody else has been where you've been. Now, dear friend, that may be a friend of ours. In her life, she had gone through 13 miscarriages. In fact, she had given up all hope in having children and wrote a book. It was not until after writing the book that the Lord then allowed her to have, I think, two children. What was she just thought, I'm never going to be able to have children, and I'm going to try to comfort those who have gone through similar situation I've gone through. So, dear friend, yeah, I know that can be extremely helpful, but please don't reject someone trying to encourage you on the basis of you don't understand because you've never gone through what I'm going through. Because that really limits. If that's the way you've got to get comfort, you're really limiting the scope of comfort to a very small window. And that might not be the plan of God to help you in your life. So the comfort others need comes from the comfort you got from the Lord. He goes on to say, comfort in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation. So Paul kept thinking about this. Okay, I'm going through affliction. Who can I help? Again, what he was doing is getting his eyes off of himself. The first point, we were getting our eyes off of ourself and getting them on the Lord. The second point is getting our eyes off of ourself and getting it onto others. I'm visiting two of our ailing people the other day. I go to the one, Ann, and she's asking about Bonnie. I go to Bonnie, and she's asking me about Ann. You two ought to get together. You know, neither of them were just sitting there thinking about themselves. And in fact, the follow-up text from Bonnie, she mentioned several of our people going through trials, and she said, I just wish I was feeling better so I could minister to them. So she was thinking beyond herself. And that's what Paul is describing in this passage. He says, if we're afflicted, it's for your consolation. In fact, look at verse number 6 toward the end. Whether we be comforted, it's for your comfort. It's for your consolation. He says, so whether I'm afflicted, it's for you. Whether I'm comforted, it's for you. And so, dear friend, if you're going through these trials, number one, get your eyes on the Lord. Refocus on the Lord. He is worthy of praise. Blessed be. He is worthy of your praise. He is the God of all comfort. He is the God of grace. He is the God of mercy. He is the God of peace. He can multiply. Go to the throne of grace. Refocus your eyes on Him. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask Him to give you one verse at a time. Try to just find a verse that will strengthen and comfort you in the Lord, and meditate on that verse and hang on to that verse and cry out to the Lord, maybe in short prayers. You might not be able to pray 10, 15 minutes, but maybe 30 seconds here and 20 seconds here, cry out to the Lord. Then secondly, get your eyes off of yourself and then get them onto others. If the Lord's taking me through this, how can I minister? Who can I minister to? Because God is bringing me through this for someone else. You see, this is actually the opposite of how we often look at life. We actually usually look at life and think, wow, why did God do that to me? What's He trying to do in my life? And I think we often look inward, and I think there's some value to that. I think sometimes we can just see if there's some changes that need to be made or some things in which He's trying to strengthen in our own lives. But I think we ought to look at it in the other way. Wow, how can I use this to be a blessing to others? Turn with me one last time. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to what it says in Romans 15. Now the God of patience and consolation, the God of comfort, same thing, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. You might want to jot down that reference. Romans 15 verse 5, the God of comfort, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. So God wants you to be enduring with and comforting to one another. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Well, wherein, what do we greatly rejoice? If I'm in heaviness through manifold temptations, there's a number of trials going on here. These trials are bringing a heaviness into my life. What am I rejoicing in? What am I greatly rejoicing in? Let's back up to verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power. Isn't it a blessing? Isn't it something to rejoice in? While I can be troubled in this life, while I can go through a hard life, Satan cannot take my Father from me. Satan cannot take my crowns from me. Satan cannot take my home from me. I am kept by the power of God. Again, he says, there's where you rejoice. And he goes on to instruct them that you keep your eyes upon Jesus. Again, look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth become strangely dim in the light of His goodness and grace. All the comfort we need and all the trouble we have is simply by turning our eyes to the Lord and turning our eyes to others. Great is His faithfulness. Let's pray. We would just raise our hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm going through some trials right now, and I can see where this message and where the Word of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 can help me. I need to get my eyes fixed better on the Lord, and I need to get my eyes on others. I've been focusing maybe too much inward, whatever it may be, whatever you're going through. I didn't have any one particular person in my mind as I prepared this message, and I've been preparing this all week. God just laid a burden on my heart to preach this way this morning. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? God bless you. Thank you. Wow. 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 Many, many hands have gone up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He can use His Word. You can put those hands down. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Other hands are still going up. Let's ask the Lord right now, while we're seated, saying, Lord, will You help me? I want to focus on You better this week. I want to think about how faith... I've been thinking about, boy, you're treating me rough. You don't love me. I've been thinking negative thoughts maybe even before the Lord. Maybe you haven't gone that far, but I haven't been focusing well on the Lord. Say, Lord, would You help me? I want to focus better on You. I want to think about Your goodness. I want to think about how gracious You are. I want to think about how merciful You are. I want to think about how You're the God of all comfort. Comfort originates with You, Father. You're a compassionate God. Praise the Lord. Then say, Father, will You also bring someone into my life? Or maybe you already have. I've just been overlooking it. That while I'm going through this, instead of thinking all about me, how can I serve? And would You allow me to minister to someone else? You've allowed me to go through this trouble that I may be able to comfort someone who is in any kind of trouble. Father, would You open my eyes to an opportunity? Because You've comforted me, I want to comfort someone else. And ask the Lord to lead into your life someone that you can minister to as a child of God. Say, Lord, help me to get my eyes on You. Lord, help me to get my eyes on someone else. Lord, help me to get my eyes off myself. Dear friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you a child of the King? With Jesus, my Savior, I am a child of the King. Are you? If you're here today and you don't believe or you don't know for sure you're a Christian, would you just raise your hand and allow me to pray for you? I won't mention who you are.